One of you turn in your Bibles to a great portion of Scripture. When I say great, am I saying there are portions of Scripture less great? No, I'm not. It's all the Word of God. But some portions just grab you. And I hope this one grabs you this morning. Acts chapter 3, and we're reading verses 1 to 10. And I've entitled this message, and I realize it's an all-day service with the children here, so it will not be the usual length of 2 hours. Just 1 hour today. Oh, sorry. I don't know, Rory should be up here. He's the actor. What the Spirit-filled church imparts. Let us read verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The word of the Lord. What the Spirit-filled, what the faith-filled church imparts. Don't necessarily like the word imparts, but what we can offer in the name of Jesus. So you have this beggar. He had been born a cripple. He had been carried every day. And where he was placed was in a most opulent setting. It was a good setting. It was probably the best place to be if he was going to receive money, if he was going to receive some crumbs, some food. It was a good place to be. The surroundings were wonderful. And he sees Peter and John coming towards him. And they fix their eyes on the beggar. And I would imagine that he would think, great, I think I've got somebody here this morning who will be generous in their giving. They look as if they've got something in them to give me. So he was expecting something to perhaps lift him up a little bit out of his poverty, a little bit out of his circumstances, because most people would pass him by. But they say something amazing to him. "Silver and gold we do not have." "We're not going to give you silver and gold. Others, the world can give you that. But what we will give you is something very, very special that the world cannot give you, that the Spirit-filled person, the Spirit-filled church can give you. The faith-filled person, the faith-filled church can give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Amazed. Nobody has said anything like that to him before. And Peter, being Peter, took him by the right hand, lifted him up. And gradually, because the power of Jesus Christ was present, his strength came to his bones, to his legs, to his arms. That which had been deformed was now being made right. All in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Instantly. We read in Matthew's Gospel, don't we, of the man who had a withered hand. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. It was healed, made right, made whole immediately. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, there's a leper, unclean. And he knew he was unclean. Unclean, unclean. People would be avoiding him. His features would be all grotesque. Nobody wanted to know him. Jesus heals him instantly before the crowd's very eyes. This is our God. And here in our passage, our crippled man, our deformed man, is instantly healed. What he received that morning was far, far better than a few coins to get him his next meal. This was the life-changing work of the Lord. Because not only was his body made whole, he was in the temple, praising God, leaping and jumping, hallelujah, giving glory to the Lord. That day he met with the risen Savior, hallelujah. He met with the risen Savior. Do you know in the next chapter, because the story really doesn't end there, because the religious people were really annoyed. They were uptight. They were uptight, really mad with Peter and John. They were taken in and stayed in custody overnight. And they were told they could not speak in the name of Jesus. Who is this person? It's Jesus! Jesus Christ! And later on, Peter would be able to say, it's the one that you crucified, but God raised him from the dead. Risen Lord, he is able, he is powerful, he can do all things according to his divine will. Nothing can stop him. Your threats cannot stop him. You thought you had crucified him. You thought you'd got rid of him, but he's alive. The victory over death, over the grave, over Satan, nothing could hold him. See, following that miracle, there was some persecution. But many were amazed. And a little later on, in chapter 2 and verse 13, the people saw that Peter and John had been with Jesus. You see, friends, if you are going to be a faith-filled person, if this fellowship is truly a faith-filled fellowship, if you are a spirit-filled person, a spirit-filled church, it means that we've been with Jesus. And it will be recognized. If ever our community, if ever our unsaved friends and family, if ever our work colleagues need to know that there is a God to be feared, a God to be loved, a God to be made right with, and only through the death of Jesus Christ are we reconciled to him. Ever they were to know, if ever there was a day to hear the gospel, it's today. Because there's a certain judgment coming. After death, there is judgment. And a fearful eternity awaits for all those who have not found faith in Jesus Christ, who have not had their sins washed away. Lord, even today, in these end times, is looking for us, looking for you, looking for me, to truly be faith-filled, spirit-filled, and take God at his word. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They had been filled, changed inside out with the power of God. They were in love of Jesus. They knew that Christ had power to save, power to heal. He's the same God today. What they had, they could give away. In my younger days, I was a below average cricketer. I loved cricket, but I was way below average. And I would look at a player like David Gower, who on the television, and he would just strike the ball through the covers, and I thought, why can't I do that? I would practice, I would try. Seldom successful. I was below average. I wasn't a gifted cricketer, although I liked the game. I didn't have it. I didn't have David Gower's, if you will, spirit, his ability, his gifting. So I couldn't give it away. I couldn't perform. That wasn't for me. But what I do have is the Spirit of God living in me. What do you have? Church. The Spirit of Christ, listen, partakers of his divine nature. Partakers of his divine nature. We read verse 11 and 12 of our chapter 3. Now as a lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" That's the crux of it, friends. If you want the glory, if I want the glory, God will pass us by. We may have spoof healings and whatnot. But Peter and John were right. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus living in me, living in the community, living in the church. So unlike so many today, they're totting up all on a piece of paper or in their newsletters or on the television. So many, so many, so many, so many, and they have the glory, they have the following. Not so with Jesus. He has the glory and will not share his glory with another. Hallelujah. Praise be to him. Not by their own power. Verse 16. And his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Hallelujah. When I referred to chapter 3, verse 13, it was 4, verse 13 just now. The church had power because it had faith in Jesus' name. They fully trusted him. The boldness of Peter and John. May God fill us afresh. Oh yes, there will be opposition. If you're following Jesus, there will be opposition. But the Lord's will is that we rise up even in our midst, even amongst us. Please, God, display your healing power. Where there's faith, where there's trust, even in our midst, there needs to be salvation. Hallelujah. Even in our midst. Yes, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. That mountain has been such an obstacle, such a hindrance. You need to see Jesus, the great mountain mover. Not by might, nor by our power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You see, friends, the faith-filled, Spirit-filled community is one that's been with Jesus. They're responding to the love of Jesus to them, the grace of the Lord Jesus to them. We read that passage from Acts, from Ephesians chapter 2 a little earlier. It's all of God's grace, but it's faith in him. Do you have faith? Real faith in him. Not faith in your offering. Not faith in your minister. Faith in Jesus Christ. And see what he will do. Praise God. Let's bow. Let's. So he's responding to Jesus, what he has done, forgiving us, cleansing us, making us whole, removing our filthy rags from off us, clothing us in his righteousness. No, we're not to live ordinary lives, friends. Supernatural lives. Soon and very soon we will see the King. We will stand before him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there should be a great motivational thing for us that we will see him as he is. Want to hear those words? Well done, you good and faithful servants. Enter it. Come in. He's prepared a place for you. So, Lord, come, we pray. What you did all those years ago, even with that lame man, you can do for us today, for any one of us today. Our hope, our trust is in you. Come and fill us, Lord. Pray. We have a real need this morning. Leave us, we heard earlier, the Lord has tabernacled among us. He is here with us. May God quicken it to us, his word, even now. In hearing in recent weeks, there's nothing too difficult, too hard for him. Hallelujah. As we conclude, where you are, or where you need to come to the front, Lord is speaking to you. If you need to reach out to the Lord today, hallelujah, take courage in him. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more.